CBS News Special Report, disaster in the air near Washington, D.C.
It was a CRJ and a helicopter that hit, I would say, maybe a half mile off the approach.
An American Airlines jet from Wichita coming in for a landing at Reagan National collided with an Army helicopter carrying three soldiers. Both aircraft plunged into the Potomac. CBS's Nicole Skanka is at the airport.
Officials have described the conditions out there as complex, rough, and cold, with NOAA reporting that icy Potomac water is 36 degrees.
There were 60 passengers and crew members on the plane. Hamad Raza tells WUSA-TV his wife was on board and texted him.
Landing in 20 minutes, the rest of my texts didn't get delivered. That's when I realized something might be up.
Officials say 19 bodies have been pulled from the water so far. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall.
We can hope beyond hope, but I think it's been 4 or 5 hours now since that plane went down, and I'm not seeing any ambulances leave.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Night Agent is a show we've talked about periodically on Nightlight. The second season just dropped on Netflix, and lots of people seem to be finding it. The spy drama drew 14 million viewers in its first 5 days, and according to TheWrap.com, landed in the top 10 most viewed shows in 90 countries. The plot finds an FBI agent sitting in a room in the basement of the White House monitoring a phone that supposedly never rings. Until it does, and a conspiracy unfolds. Great premise, and a pretty good show. If you like heist films, you might enjoy the film Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Gerard Butler is back playing Big Nick, an L.A. County Sheriff's detective, in the follow-up to the first Den of Thieves from 2018. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also back as bad guy Donnie Wilson, trying to evade Big Nick, who tracks him across Europe. Jackson's character disappeared at the end of Den of Thieves 1, leaving the story ripe for sequel. The film could be 15 minutes shorter, but does deliver with some high-speed thrills and gunfights through beautiful settings in Europe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the ninth-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple: victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few clouds of the overnight. Light south winds developing with lows in the mid-20s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, gusty south winds and highs in the lower 50s. There will be a rain chance Thursday night. Mostly cloudy skies and lows in the mid-30s. Right now, it's 22.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
A message from the CDC.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Yeah, we're going to see sunshine today and abnormally warm temperatures for Wisconsin. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, beautiful day today. Sunshine looks like daytime highs touching out around 55 degrees. Yes, we will feel winds out of the southwest, gusting as high as 30 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 20% chance of rain, probably before lunchtime. Then cloudy skies. Daytime highs tomorrow, still around 44. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 37. Sunday, sunny and 51. But don't get too confident. Temperatures definitely take a nosedive coming up next week. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, has our weather details. He's joining us in about 15 minutes. Matt Tranel from EverAg is joining us before we wrap up the show. A couple of the items we'll be discussing with him. What's happening as far as cheese movement, and also the latest milk production figures that show the devastating loss California milk producers witnessed with high-path avian influenza in their dairy herd. Plus, Ben Jarbo catching up with a former policy advisor to the Trump administration the first time around. Why is agriculture as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rockers? Well, he explains why the history of the Trump administration keeps agribusiness edgy. That's all on the way for a Thursday morning.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Many times the changing of the guard hits a few bumps in the road. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. Within the last 6 months, there was a changing of the guard for the executive director position for the Wisconsin FFA Alumni and Supporters Group. And I don't think the road has been really bumpy for Terry Costello as she stepped into that role. Let's get started with some of your background that makes this role a perfect fit for you.
Good morning, Jill. Thanks for having me on the air. Yeah, as you said, my name is Terry Costello. I just retired from being a high school agriculture education teacher in June. I spent 34 years in the classroom being a high school ag education instructor. I started my career in the New Holstein School District for 7 years. I spent 2 years working for the Ag Ed Network out of West Bend, where I helped develop curriculum and worked on customer service. And then the call to get back to education was just too great. I then spent the next 27 years teaching in the Waupun Area School District. And it's been a great job. I loved being a high school ag teacher. And then, once retiring, I was approached about applying for this position.
As an ag teacher, did you have a lot of influence when it came to the alumni and supporters at the schools that you taught at? I mean, did they help you out a lot?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm always very appreciative of the help that, you know, our alumni chapters provided for me and my students and the schools that I taught. But I also see there are so many amazing things in other chapters across the state that alumni offer their ag programs and ag teachers. And I mean, that is what is something that I enjoy so much about being in this position is just learning about some of the things that are happening in these other schools and how can we share that information with our teachers and our FFA alumni affiliates to see how they can use their time to help our instructors.
And now we're going to dive right into this executive director position. You felt like it was a perfect fit. Have you had a few surprises along the way or things that you're really embracing as you go on?
Well, absolutely. I mean, anytime that you start a new position, there's always, you know, bumps and a big, I keep telling everybody, it's just been a big learning curve. You know, I'm trying to fill some pretty big shoes with Cheryl Steinbach, and who has done just a phenomenal job of leading this organization in the 7 years that she spent in this position. As far as, you know, getting into this position, I wish it wasn't under the reasons that I am, but the executive council for the Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters have been really, really helpful in guiding me and getting me through the learning process of this position. You know, there's just always lots to learn.
And we're chatting with Terry Costello. She's the new executive director for the Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters. Now, you've had to take on a few different responsibilities, one of them being the Wisconsin FFA Alumni and Supporters Convention. Have you embraced that, got all your speakers lined up, and found out that, man, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scene?
Yeah, I kind of laughed. Some people made the comment to me, they're like, Terry, it's just like a big FFA banquet. And it is kind of true in some of those aspects. But there's a convention committee that has worked diligently, doing most of the legwork for the convention when it comes to lining up the tours, getting the speakers. Those things were already done. As a matter of fact, we are in the process of working on our 2026 and 2027 convention as well. So these people have been doing legwork for about, you know, 3 years in the preparation, and they are really getting, they've really assembled a great program for the convention February 7th and 8th in Stevens Point this year.
With any new job, there's a lot of excitement, and there's always the push to do things the way they were done before. But to make the job your own, a lot of times you have to maybe change things up and have some new ideas. What are some of the new ideas that you've brought with you as the new executive director?
I think the one thing that I am probably at the forefront for me is I really, really want to make sure that we are telling the story of the FFA alumni as we talk about roles and responsibilities. The FFA alumni there is to support the agriculture instructors. And I think sometimes we kind of lose that focus. And that's what I want to focus on, are those positive relationships and what can we do to support the teacher, not direct the program, but to support the teacher and support the program. And for me, that's something that's going to be really important to me in this role.
And it always takes a lot of communications, whether you're working at the state level or working with the local alumni. What are some of the things that the state level can do to support the local alumni as they support those FFA chapters?
I think it comes down to, you know, the communication skills, providing them with a framework or the ideas of, you know, what can they do? You know, what can they do to support their programs? If we can continue to showcase what other alumni chapters are doing, I think that serves as an example of what they can do within their own affiliates. And I think one of the things that's going to be kind of neat at our alumni convention is we have provided grants for, I think it was 6 different FFA alumni chapters this year to help start doing programs within their chapters. And I think that's something that more alumni affiliates can take advantage of. And just the networking that's going to take place at the convention, I think, is really critical to seeing alumni programs continue to grow.
looking ahead, you talked a lot about communication, supporting those alumni and supporters chapters. Any other goals that you have up your sleeve that you'd like to see happen at the state level and maybe get a little more recognition out there?
Well, you know, our Wisconsin FFA alumni for the seventh year in a row has been named the number one state affiliate in the nation for the last 7 years. So I think, you know, that's a real testimony to the leadership of Cheryl Steinbach and the executive directors over those last 7 years. Hopefully we can continue, you know, that same level of recognition. But of course, we'd always like to see more FFA chapters embrace an alumni, and for more alumni to see the positive benefits. That it's, I think, too often people look at alumni as a fundraising component for a chapter, which in a lot of cases it absolutely is. But there's so many talents within our alumni that, you know, it would be great to see more of our alumni embracing the roles of coaching and serving as judges and sharing their talents with our FFA members. If we can continue to improve that, I think that would be a step in the right direction.
And that was Terry Costello. She is the executive director for the Wisconsin FFA Alumni and Supporters. She's been in that job less than 6 months, and boy, I've seen a big uptick in those alumni. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Day one. The hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Me, that's the number to use. I'm talking directly to him, Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, joining us on a Thursday morning. Holy crow! This forecast leads me to believe that we might be pushing up against or maybe going past record-breaking temperatures. What do you think?
I think it looks very likely today, Pam. I looked at what Norwood records would be. Right in Madison, 47. 53 would be a record high in Milwaukee. 48 would top a record in La Crosse. 50 in Eau Claire. And I'd look up Green Bay. 42 is all we've got to beat. And I expect a lot of us are going to be up in the 50s today.
Oh, yeah. So. That's, I mean, it sounds really good, but it's, see, I'm just trying to figure out, wasn't it about this time a year ago when we got the only big snow we ended up with?
That could be. I don't have the date, but yeah, it was at that end of the month time.
Yeah. Well, we'll take what we've got now. Give us the details, and it sounds like maybe a little moisture on the way.
There's a little chance of that, yes. So the very mild air building in today and southwest winds. I mean, you mentioned grilling. That sounds great. But I'm also then looking at a southwest wind that could be gusting up at about 20 or 25 miles per hour. That makes it a little chilly, maybe a little problem with the grill. But we have a pretty quiet day. Otherwise, a fair amount of sunshine. There's a low trying to push up out of the south. There's some rain in Missouri and southern Illinois. Snow back in Colorado. The northern fringe of that system could brush southern Wisconsin late tonight or very early tomorrow with a little bit of light rain or a couple of snowflakes. That's not going to amount to much. That little system pulls away. A front dropping through out of the north could be a little more likelihood for a little bit of snow by quite late tonight or into Friday, and that would be up in the northwest part of the state. Not even an inch if we see it, but at least a little snow may fall there. And otherwise, I really expect we cool it off a little bit as we head on towards Saturday. Temperatures still above normal, though, even as we start on into next week when we get February underway this weekend. The above normal temperatures will be continuing, maybe not record setting like they could be today, but still above normal, and that pattern kind of sticks around into next week, starting to drop off, getting cooler when we push on toward the end of that first full week of February. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Did you know the definition of comfort foods is food that provides consolation or a feeling of well-being? I'll tell you what, they've got it from door to door at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to stop by Bavaria Sausage on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, online, BavariaSausage.com. If you're looking for comfort foods, look no further to Bavaria Sausage. With their old world flavors and diverse products, you won't run out of recipe ideas, that's for sure. Take a look, of course, at all their authentic German recipes that are available there, and some of the special items that you won't find anywhere else. Bavaria Sausage also looking forward to the breaks in Wisconsin's winter weather, where you might even think about grilling out. That's their strong suit, making sure whatever the weather allows that you've got a Bavaria brat ready for the grill. BavariaSausage.com. Check it out today. Yeah, grilling. Like you said, though, be careful with that wind. We've got some reports from farmers about little grass fires in Wisconsin. Not what we think of in January.
No, not a good thing, and the wind certainly could get anything taken away from us on a day like today. Now, let's talk about it. A very mild day, sunny, a little breezy, and even pushing 50 in the west, could be mid-50s in the south. Southwest winds 5 to 15, gust to 25. Some clearing in the north yet tonight. More clouds, even a slight rain chance in the southern edge of the state late tonight. And we stay just about freezing or above in the south, maybe down into the upper 20s further north. And then I expect that little bit of rain chance in the south early tomorrow. Sky is clearing later. Some sunshine the rest of the state tomorrow. And we ought to be in the upper 30s and low 40s with the northeast winds at 5 to 15. Saturday, mostly cloudy. Could be that snow in the north. Not going to amount to much. Mid and upper 30s for highs, Pam. Southwest winds 10 to 20, and maybe a little snow north yet Sunday. Otherwise, kind of quiet wrapping up the weekend, but staying a little cooler.
All right, good enough. Well, we'll enjoy today and wait and see what tomorrow brings, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. We'll see you later. Good luck.
All right, bye now.
Stu Muck, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for. Hey, speaking of details, if you're looking for details about my upcoming Canadian Rockies railroading trip, you can text me now, 877-301-FARM. We're leaving July 26th through August 2nd, starting in Calgary, then heading up towards Banff, on to Jasper, where we'll get on Canadian Via Rail. We'll be overnight on the train, then we'll start making our way towards Vancouver. Of course, there's agriculture highlights all along the way, including visiting a registered dairy herd on Victoria Island. So if you want to know more, you can talk or text right now, 877 877- 301-FARM. I'll send you a link. 877-301-3276. Join me as we railroad the Canadian Rockies this summer.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
CBS News Special Report, disaster in the air near Washington, D.C.
It was a CRJ and a helicopter that hit, I would say, maybe a half mile off the approach.
An American Airlines jet from Wichita coming in for a landing at Reagan National collided with an Army helicopter carrying three soldiers. Both aircraft plunged into the Potomac. CBS's Nicole Skanga is at the airport.
Officials have described the conditions out there as complex, rough, and cold, with NOAA reporting that that icy Potomac water is 36 degrees.
There were 60 passengers and crew members on the plane. Hamad Raza tells WUSA-TV his wife was on board and texted him.
Landing in 20 minutes, the rest of my texts didn't get delivered. That's when I realized something might be up.
Officials say 19 bodies have been pulled from the water so far. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall.
We can hope beyond hope, but I think it's been 4 or 5 hours now since that plane went down, and I'm not seeing any ambulances leave.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story. You can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the ninth-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple: victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few clouds in the overnight, light south winds developing with lows in the mid-20s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, gusty south winds and highs in the lower 50s. There will be a rain chance Thursday night. Mostly cloudy skies and lows in the mid-30s. It's 24 at our studios.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought a cigarette is my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft.
But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Incompetency. But Nick, as a Packers fan, I know this. We can never have everything on the same page. So
successful trip to San Antonio, Texas for the 106th Annual Convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Going to recap some of the honors that the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation received. Welcome back, everybody. It's a Thursday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We're also going to hear some thoughts from a former Trump economic advisor on why agriculture stays anxious when it comes to trade policies and repercussions against agriculture. Plus, Matt Tranel from EverAg discussing all things dairy with us on a Thursday. Yeah, today, a Thursday, the 30th day of January. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1969, the Beatles gave their very last public performance. They performed on the rooftop of an Apple building in London on this day, back in 1969. On this day in 1982, the very first computer virus was released into the wild. It was actually a practical joke by a 15-year-old when he created Elk Cloner, which was the very first computer virus that was really a victim for everybody. That was on this day back in 1982. Couple happy birthdays for you. Happy birthday to actor Christian Bale. He's 51. Singer-songwriter Phil Collins turns 74 today. And wow, Gene Hackman is 95 years young. Whew. And now you know. Fair to say that production agriculture probably helped Donald Trump return to the White House, but that doesn't mean that farmers and agribusinesses aren't anxious about repercussions against agriculture under the Trump administration. Ben Jarbo caught up with a former senior economic advisor to the Trump administration in his first administration and found out a little bit more about what makes agriculture and agribusiness anxious about retaliatory tariffs.
The Trump administration is now back in office and ready for the next 4 years, but there's still a lot of uncertainty on what that could bring. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and it is well known that Trump is planning to implement tariffs on other countries, including Canada and Mexico. Nick Paulson is a professor of agriculture economics at the University of Illinois, and in 2019, he also spent time as a senior economist on the Council of Economic Advisors in the White House. With this insider experience, he's going to share what he feels will possibly be seen this time around with the administration as far as tariffs and staffing.
Yeah, so I mean, I think in my experience on the council is we had a whole team who worked on trade issues because trade was such an important part of Trump's first administration. And you know, our job was to provide, you know, objective analysis on what the implications of some of his proposed trade policies would be. So not necessarily whether things were right or wrong, but like what would happen from an economic standpoint. And in the case of trade policy, if you're talking about tariffs, that generally is going to lead to some negative impacts, particularly on certain industries that are heavily reliant on exports. Because if we place tariffs on imports from other countries, they typically retaliate with tariffs on our exports to them, and then that hurts demand for industries that do rely on exports.
Well, and he's been saying 25% tariffs on, say, like Mexico, Canada. What would that do to our ag economy here if that were to somehow make it through at that extreme of a level?
Yeah, and you know, the challenge with agriculture is, you know, the U.S. is we do rely so heavily for a lot of our major ag commodities on export markets, which unfortunately makes them a prime target for some of that retaliatory action when we put in place tariffs on other countries. You know, ag is an easy target for them to put tariffs on our exports to them. And so even if agriculture is not part part of the broader policy objectives of that trade policy, it unfortunately a lot of times feels the brunt of some of the negative consequences.
Well, just based off the time that you spent in D.C. kind of working with the administration, trying to piece together the numbers and stuff, what are some of the things that may not have taken effect then that you think could possibly now see the light of day?
So this is true of any administration that gets a second term, and I think maybe even more so in the case of the Trump administration, because they had the break between the first and second terms to really gear up for the second time around, is that, you know, I think they're going to be much more strategic in the appointments and the staffing decisions that they make to really streamline a lot of the things that they want to do. And so, you know, in my time, you know, looking at trade policy in D.C. In the first administration, you know, there were quite a few instances where, you know, our analysis showed, you know, some of the potentially very costly outcomes of some of the trade policies. I do wonder whether this second time around, if some of the people were put in similar positions to the ones I was in or the people I worked with, you know, whether there will still be sort of those voices of dissent, if you will, in terms of the cost that some of these trade policies in particular might create for industries like agriculture.
Paulson also says that he feels with the Trump administration in office again that there will be some regulatory rollbacks for the agriculture industry to allow farmers to continue to produce at a high level. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
Beautiful day on the way today. Daytime highs under sunny skies, right around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, chance of rain in the forecast before lunchtime. Congratulations to the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. The delegates and staff just returned from the 106th annual meeting of the American Farm Bureau Federation in San Antonio, Texas, where Wisconsin picked up the Pinnacle Award. That's the highest honor a State Farm Bureau can be afforded for program and member achievements. They also received the New Horizon Award for their new innovative Gather Wisconsin program, which is a group of resources to connect consumers with the farmers that grow and raise their family's food. Special individual congratulations to Callie Jo Coates from Racine County. She made it to the Sweet 16 in the discussion meet. Lynn Leahy from Heartland Farms was reappointed to the Farm Bureau Federation's Promotion and Education Committee, and Dunn County's Ben and Hallie Sand wrapped up their 2-year term on the Farm Bureau's Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, was named to a 1-year term on the American Farm Bureau Federation's Board of Directors. Congratulations all. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are in the red ink. Right now, December corn's trading almost 2 cents lower, 465. November beans are down 4, 1059. July wheat down 2 at 586. Dairy, yesterday barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese gained 4 at 193, while AA butter dropped 4 to 246. February class 3 milk that goes into cheese was up a nickel at 2039. March up 8 at 2010 a hundredweight. Just around the corner, Matt Tranel from EverEgg is going to join us, recap some of what he sees in the latest milk production figures from across the United States, including California, where they saw a devastating milk production loss because of high path avian influenza in dairy. Matt's next.
can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
There's a lot going on here at WRJN, and we want to keep you up to date so you don't miss a thing. From music stories, from news, from contests, to all the events going on around Racine, we'll keep you up to date not only on the air, but with our new WRJN newsletter. Simply go to WRJN.com. You'll find a place to enter your email address, and then we'll start sending you a weekly email to keep you up to date on all things WRJN. WRJN.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
First time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Management advice really in any sector, and that includes food processing. You know, we talk about how High Path has impacted the poultry industry. If you're in the food business and you need eggs for your food, you might need a little risk management from somebody in agriculture. The EverAg crew has the depth at the field to be able to help you out there. Matt Channel joining us live this morning. All right, buddy, I want to jump right in. I won't say a surprise, but kind of a surprise. When you look at the December milk production figures for the 24 major dairy producing states, the big dogs, I'm talking places like California, Arizona, really slipped off the cracker this time. And for California, it was in part because of High Path and their dairy herd, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the last three milk production reports, essentially the big watch point has been California, and that's been due to their experience with the bird flu. Last month for November, that was a little bit of a surprise when USDA did essentially come in at negative 9.2% year over year decline in milk production. It's worth noting that USDA did backpedal on that November number. They brought it back to 7.9% negative, which is still a huge number and something we continue to watch. For December, though, California ended up coming in at negative 6.8% year over year. And so during December, we were hearing a lot about the bird flu really kind of moving to their northern region, being up towards the Hillmar, California territory. And that seems to have made its way into the overall milk production report, given that USDA put them down 6.8%. I would expect in the January report that comes out in February that we probably will have a slight revision again. I think USDA is kind of thrown their best dart at the wall, trying to guess where that's at. They don't know exactly where it's going to come in at, But either way, being down 7%, we're going to see some type of effect in January as well from a California standpoint. When you do look at the other, I will say, major milk regions around the country, we did actually see some growth. So we got to keep in the back of our mind that as California continues to rebound in production, if some of these other territories are growing, that could be a little bit worrisome moving forward. The Northwest was up 1%, Southwest was up 2.9%, the Midwest was up 0.8%, and then the Mideast was up 1%. So overall, because California accounted for such a big number, they're essentially 18% of the U.S. milk production. Overall, the December 2024 milk production report had the U.S. down 0.5%, which was less milk produced than what most industry guesses were at. I know Everag, we were at -0.1%, so there was less milk than what we had projected.
Matt Tranel's joining us live this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, I want to remind you about their website, ever.ag. Sorry to interrupt you, Matt, but yeah, these numbers were definitely, I know everybody was talking about it. The other question I've got, maybe you guys at Everag have been talking to the actual dairies impacted. We talk about the rebound factor. How long does California expect that it's going to take for them to be able to rebound? 30 days, 45 days? It sounds like a lot of these cows rebound pretty fast, but may not get back to peak production.
Yeah, that's what we've been picking up too, is that these cows generally do rebound fairly quickly. And I would say that because we're going through January and we're going to be going into February, the weather is not going to be as big of a concern from a heat standpoint. And so I think the cows will rebound. We have seen specifically in like states such as Texas that had bird flu hit during the summer months when it's been super hot, that cows typically take a lot longer to rebound. So my guess would be sometime in first or early second quarter, these cows should rebound and we'll probably be back to maybe -1-2% in California, where it's not as big of a deal to the national average, I guess you could say.
Right, right. You know, we've got the end of the month coming up, all of a sudden February 1st on Saturday, and you're kind of providing cautionary advice on February 1st. That could be when we start to learn a few details on tariffs. It's a big softball right now, Matt, but agriculture needs to be kind of keeping their head on a swivel, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some concern. There was definitely comments from the Trump administration where we are long-term looking for better trade deals with some of our partners. Some of our partners, such as China, which we've had issues with in the past, but also Canada and Mexico. And the previous talk was that tariffs were going to go into effect the first day of Trump's administration. They've kind of been backpedaled to February 1st. So this weekend, we're either going to learn that we have tariffs with some of our major trading partners, or that might have just been rhetoric, throw it at the wall, see what sticks, and go from there. If we do end up putting on tariffs this weekend, and we'll see if it affects dairy, but you could see some price decreases next week with those tariffs. If we come into next week and there are no tariffs, ultimately you could see some green on the screen. So nonetheless, it is one of the risks that we do have facing us in 2025. And as of the latest release and news, February 1st is when it's supposed to be announced. So stay tuned for February 1st. That's going to be a big announcement.
Well, and you know, like you point out, it doesn't have to involve agriculture. I mean, these tariffs could be on anything, and yet agriculture seems to come in the crosshairs when it comes to retaliatory efforts.
Absolutely. In 2018, they put some Mexico put some tariffs on the U.S. as a result of some of the tariffs when we were trying to renegotiate NAFTA. But I would caution everybody that Europe is currently working with Mexico on a free trade agreement as well, while this ordeal with the United States is going on. So some other countries are looking at this as an opportunity to get in with one of our major buyers. So either way, it's probably not, at least short term, a positive thing. Hopefully long term it is.
And people have to realize Mexico and Canada, the number one and two customers of U.S. dairy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mexico is huge. 35 million pounds of cheese went to Mexico just last month. So they are big.
Yeah. All right, Matt. Appreciate the time, my friend. Always great insight. We'll have them check you guys out at ever.ag or maybe bump into you in one of the winter conferences yet to come.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. Thanks, Matt.
Yep. You too. Yep. See you, fam.
Matt Trannell joining us live on a Thursday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report, one of the broker analysts you want to talk to at EverAg. Their website, again, ever.ag. Got a question about what's going on in dairy? Or you want to share your thoughts? Do it on the talk text line, please. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Sticker shock at the grocery store. Why food prices are so high. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A farm can be a great place to raise a family, but it can also be a dangerous place for children. Kids can learn a lot about work and responsibility, but you have to use good judgment when assigning tasks. It's best to wait if you're not certain a child is up to the task. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Earlier this month, I did a show about the slowing inflation rate for food in the U.S. Today, we dig into why those food costs have risen. Don Thilmany is a professor of agricultural and resource economics at Colorado State University.
People might not know this, but about 50% of the cost of food that we eat is labor in some way, shape, or form. And as a country, we've actually made some commitments to really raise wages for a large set of our workers. And since 50% of our food cost is labor, that's going to end up trickling through to our food cost as well. So most people would think that plays out well, because if we're all making more money, we can spend more money on food. But of course, that hasn't been even across the economy.
Besides labor costs, Thilmany says.
But there's a couple other things, too. Those supply chain disruptions also affected energy costs, which are big for agriculture. We also have seen some weird versions of disease outbreaks that really have affected a couple of sectors.
While we can complain about grocery bills and restaurant meal costs, Thilmany says we might consider being thankful that we have adequate food supplies available in this country. She'll be back tomorrow to explain further. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I just saw a fireball and then it was just gone.
Chilling audio from air traffic control just after an American Airlines jet from Kansas with 64 people on board collided with an Army helicopter carrying three soldiers as the plane approached Reagan National Airport near Washington. Both aircraft plunged into the Potomac. At least 19 bodies have been pulled from the river so far. John Potter heads the airport authority.
It's a very difficult situation out there with the cold. It's very dark, but there are numerous boats out there. There are dive teams out there.
Sources tell CBS News one of the plane's black boxes has been recovered. Team coverage begins with CBS News senior transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
Military helicopters operate in the D.C. area. That's not unusual. There is communication. It is a bit of a tightly choreographed dance, but certainly something went very, very wrong here. Something that hasn't gone wrong in